Depression, a silent battle many face. The void it creates can be overwhelming. I receive messages on Twitter from friends seeking comfort in prayer, grappling with this heavy burden. While I do offer my prayers, I also ponder how to offer them encouragement. Depression takes on many forms, often leading to inactivity, hopelessness, and despair. Countless books dive into this complex topic, but what does the Bible reveal about depression? One kind of depression, the inescapable kind, is when it feels like God is a distant presence. Spiritual abandonment is a recurring theme in Scripture, with Psalm 88 providing a vivid example. The entire psalm revolves around depression stemming from spiritual isolation. Consider the depiction of a man who believes God has forsaken him, as stated in Psalm 88, verses 13 through 18. Listen to these words. "But I, Lord, have cried out to you for help, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you reject my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I was miserable and about to die from my youth on. I suffer your terrors. I grow weary. Our burning anger has passed over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. They have surrounded me like water all day long. They have encircled me altogether. You have removed lover and friend far from me. My acquaintances are in a hiding place." In these verses, God's comforting presence seems to vanish, replaced by irrational fears. The afflicted soul is at the breaking point, facing physical and emotional distress. Even as they question God's presence, they long for Him. Job experienced a similar crisis, a heart-wrenching experience. This spiritual dryness is an aspect of Christian life. We all face it. It's a trial orchestrated by God for reasons unknown. For instance, in the Old Testament, God sometimes withdrew His presence to test His people's faith. I've experienced these moments in my own life, and thankfully they were short periods of time. This type of depression is unique to Christians. Non-believers may not experience this profound loss, as they often reject God's presence anyway. Some forms of depression are comprehensible. Take, for instance, the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. He, an anointed prophet, performed miracles and witnessed the heavens respond to his prayers. However, he found himself in the depths of depression following his confrontation with Jezebel. Listen to these words. "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, 'So may the gods do to me and more so, if by about this time tomorrow I do not make your life like the life of one of them.' And he was afraid and got up and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked for himself to die and said, 'Enough! Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's.' Then he lay down and fell asleep under a broom tree. But behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, 'Arise, eat.' And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a round loaf of bread baked on hot coals and a pitcher of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. But the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and says, 'Arise, eat, because the journey is too long for you.' So he arose and ate and drank, and he journeyed in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God. Then he came to a cave and spent the night there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of armies, for the sons of Israel have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they have sought to take my life.' So he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before God.' And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and powerful wind was tearing at the mountains and breaking the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. and after the fire, a sound of gentle blowing. Depression is a serious matter, affecting even the most devoted servants of God. In this passage, it appears that depression can lead to unimaginable depths. The man who will never die asks God to die. He can't bear it anymore. Job, Jeremiah, and Moses also experienced similar emotions at various points in their lives. This type of depression often results from emotional and physical exhaustion. Elijah had expended all his energy in God's service, and Jezebel's threat was the tipping point that sent him into depression. Everyone, my friends, has their limits. Ministry can be draining, leading to self-pity and impaired spiritual judgment. Many pastors, if they were honest, would admit to facing this type of depression more than they'd like to acknowledge. God showed great kindness to Elijah, granting him nearly a six-week break. This respite allowed him to rest and recuperate. When he was ready, God spoke to him in a gentle, still voice and gave him more work. Even when you work tirelessly for God, he notices your zeal. There's another kind of depression that seems to emerge for no apparent reason. I remember experiencing this type of depression as a teenager before knowing Jesus as my Savior. I felt hopeless, often triggered by hurtful comments or seemingly insurmountable circumstances. These external factors may not have been the sole cause for my despair, but my responses to them, unknown to me at the time, were often sinful. The Bible's first account of depression, found in Genesis chapter 4, involves Cain. Listen to this story. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard, meaning God didn't accept the offering. So Cain became very angry, and his face was gloomy. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why is your face gloomy? If you do well, will your face not be cheerful? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain talked to his brother Abel, and it happened that when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. So Cain's offering was rejected by God, and that led to an anger and a gloomy countenance. God asked him, "Why is he angry?" implying that if he did what was right, he'd be cheerful. Instead, Cain's wrong response fueled sin, resulting in jealousy and murder. The circumstance was unfavorable, of course, but his response was even more so. It was sinful, and it worsened the situation. So can depression be avoided? Well, I believe some forms are unavoidable, but others can be addressed through self-evaluation. How we react to uncontrollable situations is the key. If your response is wrong, repent of it, for God forgives and pardons. There's hope for all of us, as God's grace can make things right, even bringing some improvement into your circumstances. Now, I found comparing myself to others can lead to feelings of inadequacy. Our dreams may be shattered, and our lives may not meet our expectations, but we must not wallow in self-pity or neglect our responsibilities or be overcome by guilt. Instead, we should seek hope and then take action. Breaking the cycle of depression requires getting on with life, seeking God's help to tackle even the smallest tasks. Lean on supportive friends and take small steps with God's guidance. Gradually, you'll regain your encouragement. Now, clinical depression is a different beast altogether, and it often has organic roots. It's a growing concern with the rise of suicide rates in America. If you're in this situation, don't hesitate to seek help and talk to someone about your feelings. Find support services and seek help immediately. I never want to make light of problems. Difficulties in life are terrible. But I do know this, your problems are never impossible to God. If you are a believer in Christ, you have hope where the world has given you none. For those who don't believe, seek God with all your heart, as Jeremiah 29:13 suggests. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. It's the best course of action for everyone.